بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 31st of March in the year 2024 Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 59th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that in the year 18 AH 30,000 or so believers were martyred due to the plague of Amwas, and Amr ibn al-As was the only surviving general from the main generals during that period of time. And like I mentioned, he lost all his near and dear ones, and a visible change took place upon his blessed face. Alas, if this was not all, that when Amr radiallahu anhu was now 75 years of age, just 3 short years later, in the year 21 AH, as related by Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat al-Bidayah, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar 1-376, he was also to lose his beloved and most exalted brother, no other than the veritable sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. So Khalid, he was dismissed by Umar radiyallahu anhu. So he was greatly affected by that. He passed away shortly after his dismissal because the love of his life was jihad. So in time scale, it was 3 years after the plague of Amwas. So Khalid passed away, radiallahu anhu. Such was the Amir al-Mu'mineen's estimation of him that upon his own deathbed, Sayyidina Umar had said, radiallahu anhu, if Khalid were alive, radiyallahu, I would now have made him the Khalif. I would then have said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have heard his beloved say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khalid radiyallahu is a sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's swords that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unsheathed against the idolaters. Subhanallah. Recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar 1-372, Ma'riful Ahadith, Volume 4, page 611 of the New English Translation. So look how interesting. He dismissed Khalid. Why? Because people were saying we can't be defeated with Khalid. So he was protecting their Tawheed, their Iman. But his dismissal was critical for Khalid because he had something in his heart against Umar. So those few years that he was dismissed, he actually saw close quarters how great Umar was, and that left his heart. And at the same time, Umar had a great estimation of him. And look what he said, if he was alive, I would have made him the Khalif. So picture the scene, imagine if Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was the third Khalif, what would have happened in the Muslim world? But obviously he'd left the world. Thus left the troubles of this mortal world. The magnificent Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu, the excellent servant and the majestic sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashed against the unbelievers, unleashed against the hypocrites, unleashed against the polytheists. Son of Sayyida Lubaba the Younger radiyallahu, the brother of Sayyidina Walid radiyallahu, the nephew of our dear mother Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu, the cousin of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, the cousin of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu, the cousin of Sayyida Umama bint Hamza radiyallahu, amongst others, the scribe of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teacher of Yemen, the destroyer of the accursed idols Lat and Uzza, the one who broke 9 swords at Mu'tah, the destroyer of the apostasy, the liberator of Iraq and Asham, Islam's knight, the lion in battle, the commander of the Mujahideen, the one who was near the dominated both during Jahiliyyah and Islam, the generous, the one whom poison had no effect upon, and whose dua turned wine to vinegar or honey. And last but not least, one of the endless, majestic and most noble companions of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our example par excellence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him, and most assuredly he certainly is. Ameen. So this was obviously a short CV of Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu. Such indeed was Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu, upon whom our exalted and unparalleled Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly loved, boasted of, and upon whom was his priceless special gaze. So think about that. How do we know that Allah the Almighty loved him? He boasted of him. And thirdly, he was casting his special gaze upon him, because this is a hadith. In Tabarani in his Kabir, number 11,904 or 9-302, Al-Haythami in Majma Az-Zawaid, number 3,536, stated Sahih. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves three people upon whom he directs his special gaze of mercy. One of the three is a man who is prepared to sacrifice his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he actually loses his life or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him victory. In regard to such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at this servant of mine, how he has dedicated his life to my cause. Subhanallah. So let's look at it. So this is a sahih hadith in Tabarani. So there's three that Allah ta'ala loves, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he directs his special gaze of mercy. The one that's relevant to Khalid. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? A man who's prepared to sacrifice his life in the path of Allah, whether he loses his life or Allah Ta'ala gives him victory. So Khalid wasn't martyred, but he was given victory. Allah Ta'ala says, look at this servant of mine, how he has dedicated his life to my cause. So if Khalid is not deserving of this, then who is? Radiyallahu. Indeed, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special love and affection for all such illustrious souls. Because our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way to come closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jihad fi sabilillah. Indeed, no other deed is more effective to getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than jihad. This is recorded in Bukhari in his tarikh. Imam Sayyuti rahmatullah alayhi stated Hassan in Jami as-Saghir. So look how great that deed is, the physical jihad on the battlefield. There is no other way to get closer to your Lord than jihad. The Prophet said it twice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now let's turn to Amr. Only Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thus alone knows how many tears Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu must have shed upon the passing away of these most exalted and noble of men. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thus reward each and every one of them most handsomely for their untiring services to his glorious deen, and forgive us all for their honorable sake. Ameen. So Amr was seeing people that he'd embraced Islam with also passing. Don't forget, he embraced Islam. Well, not embraced Islam, but he became a companion with Khalid and Uthman ibn Talha radiyallahu ta'ala, and they've all passed away. And what's interesting, he was the oldest. So naturally, you think the oldest will pass away first. But Amr was to outlive all of them, radiyallahu. So moving on. Next section entitled, the Promised Blessed Land of Egypt. The Blessed Land of Egypt was promised to the believers through the lips of no other than the greatest of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where? Sayyidina Ka'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you conquer Egypt, then be kind to the Copts, for they owe us an obligation and they have blood ties upon us. Indeed, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's mother radiyallahu was from them. This is recorded by Hakim Tahawi in Udus, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated Sahih in As-Sahihah number 1374. So let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? When you conquer Egypt, be kind to the Copts. So this is a miracle. the Prophet ﷺ was prophesizing this. He goes, Egypt will eventually fall to you. He goes, be kind to them. Then he says, they owe us an obligation and they have blood ties upon us. Then he explained, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's mother was from them. So Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's mother was Sayyida Hajar radiyallahu anha, and she was of noble descent. She wasn't a maid servant. She was of noble descent. What happened was, she was captured in a jihad, in a battle, and she was made a slave. But she was actually from royal lineage. And that was the mother of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Egypt will be taken by you. They have blood ties with us. He goes, in other words, be kind to them. And similarly, in Sahih Muslim, number 6174, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will soon conquer Egypt. And that is a land which is known as Qirat, i.e. much wealth, or the people have a great love for base metal. Thus, when you conquer it, treat its inhabitants well, for there lies upon you the responsibility due to blood ties or relationship of marriage. So let's look at this. So the Prophet ﷺ said, soon you will conquer it, meaning it's going to be quicker than you think. And how many years after the Prophet ﷺ did Egypt fall to the Muslims? It fell to the Muslims just 8 years after the Prophet passed away. So the Prophet goes, soon you will take it. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they love Qirat, meaning they have much wealth, or the people love wealth. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, treat them well, because two reasons. We have blood ties and marriage ties with them. The blood tie is, like I mentioned, Bibi Hajar radiyallahu, and the marriage tie is Maria, whom the Copt sent and the Prophet married her. According to one report, another report says it was his right hand possessors. But those who say he married her, is they quote this hadith. The Prophet said, we have marriage ties with them. But another explanation could be, that could be the sister of Maria who married Hassan ibn Thabit. So they say, ikhtilaf there. Subhanallah, the blessed land of Egypt was thus taken in the year 20 AH, halfway through the Khalifat of Umar, when Amr ibn al-As was around 75 years of age. So now, we're going to spend quite a few sessions discussing how Islam entered Egypt. It is related by Ibn Abd al-Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr, page 81. Now this reference I'm going to quote quite regular. What is this? So he was a scholar of Hadith, a historian, half is Ibn Abd al-Hakam. His famous work is The Opening of Egypt. It's called Futuh al-Misr. It's a reference point. So he says in there, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, now headed for Egypt on orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the reason being that Amr had propounded a plan strong enough to convince the Khalif of this. So what happened? So all is well. Islam is now set. So Amr radiyallahu, he put forward a plan to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, we should enter the land of Egypt. And he convinced the Amir al-Mu'mineen. It is further related in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 97, Tabari in his Tariq, volume 4, page 106, that Sayyidina Amr marched to Egypt by orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, who also later reinforced Amr's force with one of the exalted 10 souls from his paradise, Sayyidina Zubair ibn al-Awwam, to help him to accomplish this mission. So Amr was the leader, and he then later, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'll mention when, he sent Zubair to help him, radiyallahu. Egypt was indeed a stronghold for the Romans, who had amassed a huge army there, led by the infamous fox of the Romans, Arthabun. He's come back, he escaped. Now where is he? In Egypt. He was the greatest Roman general. So they had the greatest Roman general in charge of the troops in Egypt. So now what's happened? When Amr was given the mandate to go to Egypt, Uthman radiyallahu anhu or some other companions, according to different reports, they said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, this isn't the correct time to go into Egypt. And there was a mashura that took place. And the Mashura eventually, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, if Amr has already entered Egypt, he will continue. But if he has not entered Egypt, then we will stop him. So what happened? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent Uqba ibn Amr, another famous Sahaba, with that message. He goes, go to Sayyidina Umar and give him this message. And the message was what I just mentioned. So Amr ibn al-As, now look how amazing it is, how the wheels of history turn. Where was he at the time? He was in Rafah. Allahu Akbar. That place, nobody knows where it is. Now everybody knows where it is. Because what's happening now there? Right? All the believers have been told by the oppressive Zionist government, go to Rafah, you'll be safe. And where does it border? Egypt. So who was there? Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. So when he was in Rafah, Amr was a fox. And somebody informed him, a messenger is coming towards you from the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he quickly moved and he entered Egypt by himself. So when Uqba ibn Amr came, radiallahu anhu, because where's the Amir? Because he's up there. So he crossed. He gave him the letter. So Hazrat Amr radiallahu anhu read it. And he goes, we will proceed as planned. So Uqba ibn Amr, what do you mean proceed as planned? Because we're in Egypt. So now what does that tell you about Amr ibn al-As? He was brilliant. He had actually foresaw that Hazrat Umar, something's happened. He's probably going to ask me to step back. But how did he know that if I enter Egypt, I'm going to be allowed to be continued? And he continued. So this is why they say Egypt was Amr's honor. Amr radiallahu anhu. So now look how teaching it is. In Rafah, they're besieging the believers. So if you know your history, you can see that this is how the Quran mentions the alternate times of different, because the days shift. Sometimes the believers are ascendant, sometimes the unbelievers are ascendant. Now they're ascendant. But we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He once again restores honor to the believers, especially in that blessed land, radiallahu anhu. And this is why the Egyptians, in particular, every household literally has an amr. You know, when you want to know if a person wants your name, he goes, Amr. He goes, are you from Egypt? He goes, how did you know that? They look Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. But look at the brilliance of Amr. He wanted to enter Egypt and he goes, I'm not going back. And he stepped into Egypt, he crossed over. It is related by Al-Maqrizi in his Al-Mawa'iz, volume 1, page 289. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu thus left Palestine with his troops, upon which he eventually descended upon Al-Arish, which surrendered to him without resistance. This day was Eid al-Adha, the 10th of Zulhijjah. Thus he sacrificed a ram, an auspicious beginning indeed for the believers. Look how interesting. He enters Egypt. So obviously his force isn't that strong. Artaboon is there, the Romans, you know, the fox of the Romans. The first place he enters, surrenders without any resistance. Al-Arish. And Amr ibn al-As, he sacrificed a lamb because this is the day of Eid al-Adha. And he sacrificed. So Allah Ta'ala was showing signs that this is going to be an auspicious undertaking by Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu. And you got to keep on pinching yourself. He's 75 years old. Right? You know, think about that. You know, look how brilliant a man he was. You're thinking at that time, just let your son take over. Your grandson, or even your great-grandson. He goes, no, I'm going. Because Egypt is going to fall to me. And look how Allah Ta'ala is bringing him once again, crossing paths with the Roman of the moon. It's like he was chasing him. And eventually there will be a showdown between them. Right? So Allah Ta'ala was going to honor Sayyidina Amr even more so. Radiallahu. So all I mentioned today was basically the tragic passing of Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid 3 years after the plague of Umwas. And this hurt Sayyidina Amr. Because obviously he loved Sayyidina Khalid too much, radiyallahu. But Khalid obviously had played his role. Allah Ta'ala used him to, you know, spread the glorious deen and took him off the world stage. But he left Amr. And then Amr radiyallahu anhu now had put the seed into Amir al-Mu'mineen's heart that we need to go into Egypt. And Hazrat Umar was happy with this. Granted, later there was a little bit of disagreement, but Amr with his brilliance made sure that the task now needed to be complete. And notice, Rafat mentioned, Allahu Akbar. You look at the amazing things that happened in our history. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل من سال في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم